If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Podcast Unlocked, episode 506 for August 10th, 2021. I'm Ryan McCaffrey, back from a little vacation, alongside Miranda Sanchez and Destin Legarry. Hello to both of you.
Hi, hello. Welcome, everyone.
Miranda, thank you so much for holding down the fort in my absence last week. I needed to go off the grid for a while. It had been a long, long time. I didn't check work email. I didn't even look at Twitter. It was good. Great. It felt really good.
That's excellent.
Instead, I escaped to the fantasy bubble of that is Disneyland, which was a great time. And interestingly for Xbox fans, so, you know, they have the new Avengers campus there now that replaced the Bugs Land over in California Adventure. And so the new ride, which is Spider-Man Web Slinger, it basically uses a new, like an advanced version of Kinect. Like if Kinect had continued on, that's what it uses. You get in the ride, you've got 3D glasses. But the point is you're shooting webs to get these little robotic spiders that are crawling all over the place. And it's when you get in, there's a little screen in front of you that shows your score, but it also shows you get in. It says it calibrates and it shows a little oval head and little like skeleton arms. So it's exactly Kinect, which I thought was hilarious. Like most people that ride it probably have no idea. Like, oh, okay, this technology started a while back, and it's. I mean, I don't know if Disney adapted it, you know, just built their own version of it or what, but I thought that was pretty interesting. It's a fun game, though, so because it is more of a game than a ride. I mean, it's a ride, but it's basically a glorified video game. Real quick, before we get going, want to let everybody know that our August IGN first month of coverage, our cover story, if you will, think of it in magazine terms, is back for blood, which a bunch of us, most of us, are super excited about. We are underway with that coverage. Mitchell Saltzman went to Turtle Rock and got to play the heck out of it. We've got tons of gameplay video going up, a lot of stuff. His first, he's got a preview up of the open beta, if you missed that, as I did this past weekend since I was away. So if you didn't get in on that, check out Mitchell's preview. And then he's also got a 19-minute gameplay video that he played with the developers. So check that out. There's a lot of good stuff coming from IGN on the Back for Blood front. All right, the next big item here, Destin, we've got Gamescom coming up, even if it's in digital form this year for hopefully just this one more year. And we have a date, we have a time, and we have a little description from Microsoft. So I wanted to talk about this with both of you. August 24th, mark your calendars, August 24th. That is not this coming Thursday. Or excuse me, it's 2 weeks from today. And that's let me clarify that. Two weeks from today, Tuesday, the 24th, 10 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock BST, 7 p.m. CEST. We'll have it here on IGN as usual. So youtube.com/IGN or just the IGN.com homepage or twitch.tv/IGN. And Microsoft sends along this little programming description. Tune in to learn more about our biggest exclusive games lineup ever. During the week, you'll see new updates and gameplay from many of our Xbox game studios, alongside some of our third-party partners, including some of the incredible titles coming to Xbox this holiday, upcoming releases to our monthly subscription service Xbox Game Pass, and much more. Now, just reading into that as we do, Destin, what do you think that might mean? So an update on many games from Xbox Game Studios.
Yeah, I think it's going to be them talking about a lot of the games that were slated for 2021 that we haven't heard about. And one of those are Crossfire X and another is Scorn. What's going on with those games? Another one that comes to mind, Bright Memory Infinite.
Yes.
What is up with Bright Memory Infinite? You know, and we haven't really heard anything about those games. And I personally would love to know more.
Yeah, Miranda, how about you? What you think, we'll get any big surprises, or is it just going to be, you thinking along with Destin as far as just updates on the things that have fallen through the cracks?
I think we will get those updates. I do also think this is a good chance for them to go back to Halo single player and say like, okay, guys, you got a taste of what multiplayer is like, how this looks, how this plays. Now let's get back to the single player campaign and talk a little bit more about that and revisit what we should expect from it. So it'll be, of course, it's August, so, you know, holiday is not too far away, but it's still, we have that ambiguous holiday release date, right, for Halo. So this is going to be a good chance for them to say whether or not they have the release date, which I hope they do, because, you know, like I said, holiday is not that far. and I want them to kind of wow us with it. You know, I think they've been really prepping for it, so I think they can do a good job, and I think they have the backing of, you know, last episode, we basically just gushed about how much we enjoyed multiplayer, and that was just such an early slice of it. And I think having that hopefully will make them confident saying, okay, now we can start sharing other things. I also wouldn't be surprised if they do another multiplayer test flight during this time as well.
So, well, they are tweeting about, make sure your account's ready, make sure your account's ready. Yeah. So I have a feeling something's coming very soon.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm with you, Miranda. I think that's going to be the time when they give the release date, because it's August 10th now, so it's August 24th for this event, and as you said, they almost have to. I mean, they can't really push it much farther. So I think that's going to be the event, that keynote, that press conference. And yeah, I wonder if we'll see single player and multiplayer. I agree that this seems to be a good campaign moment for them, because realistically speaking, whatever holiday means, Halo Infinite's about done at this point. Like, they're just polishing up. I don't mean to sort of claim I'm some expert in development, but, you know, I've been around this long enough to know that by this point in time, you're pretty close, generally speaking. And so, yeah, they were probably waiting till they were all polished up before showing another campaign slice. And I expect that this will be the time for that. I wonder if maybe they show off Big Team Battle for the first time on the multiplayer side. Like that would get me hyped up for sure. Not that I need any additional hyping when it comes to Halo Infinite. But yeah, you know, I expect probably another big showcase for another big demo for Forza Horizon 5, because that's Microsoft's others, but you know, that's the 1B to Halo Infinite's 1A this holiday. And while we did see a lot of Forza Horizon 5 at E3, it was huge. I mean, it was the game of the show. It was voted best game at E3 by the media, by the judges, and it's a big game for them. And so I think we will see more of that. Now, they have been giving continuous updates. They just showed off the entire game map, the world map, but I expect more Forza Horizon footage. And boy, Destin, I'm so glad you mentioned Scorn and Crossfire in particular.
Yeah, both of them look great.
I'll be honest with you, and I don't mean this in a demeaning negative way at all, but I had honestly forgotten about those games, because that's how quiet. We have not heard a peep about them, not even a mention of either of those two games. Crossfire was supposed to be out last year, and now we're heading in the home stretch of 2021, and we still don't have a date for that yet. So yeah, that struck me as that I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, they've shown enough of the single player gameplay that it looks awesome. They've shown a little bit of the multiplayer in trailer form. That game looks.
I played it. It's there was a yeah. closed beta last summer, like last year. So it's been out there. Yeah.
The game looks like it's going to be great. Like from everything that I've seen, I'm just wondering what's going on with it. Where's the release date? Why haven't they been talking about it? And it's sort of the same with Scorn. Scorn was at least on their little calendar with I believe it was fall. So like, is that coming out soon? Like fall is now, right? Are we in fall season yet?
No, we're in summer.
On the doorstep of it though. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you're referencing an Xbox Wire blog post from, it might've even been January. It was like the beginning of the year where they listed like, here's all the exclusives coming to Xbox this year. And it had the big stuff. It had small stuff. Obviously it didn't have things like Forza Horizon 5 that wasn't announced yet, but Scorn was in there. 12 minutes was in there, which is coming out.
Their presentation had it also at the end on their calendar of stuff coming out, but it didn't have a date.
Yeah. You know?
And Bright Memory is another one that when the Series X was revealed, that was available on Steam. You could play Bright Memory, and then Bright Memory Infinite was coming to Xbox. The combat is awesome in that game.
Looks
another
so cool.
really cool shooter with great combat. And I'm just like, where are these games? Because they look awesome and I want to play them and talk about them, but nothing.
Yeah. And I know you're not saying, where are these games in a aggressive way. Are they coming this year? Cause it's it's the Xbox, the exclusive games lineup. You know, I did the whole op-ed about it. It's all finally happening. We just need some dates on the calendar for some of this stuff, Halo included, but it's great to see. I mean, this month, so we just had The Ascent, which I reviewed right before I left. I know you guys talked about it last week. Everybody's hopefully had a chance to look at my review. I really enjoyed that game. I would be thrilled if they did a sequel and addressed some of the issues I had with it. But boy, a lot of fun. That's on Game Pass. I definitely recommend everybody give that a try. So that's an exclusive. Of course, Flight Simulator was out that same week right before I left as well. And now this month, I just mentioned 12 minutes, and then Miranda Psychonauts 2 is the end of the month as well.
So excited.
It's coming. Although I guess technically that's actually not an exclusive. Not kickstarted, but figged. Is that a verb? Can we verb that?
Sure.
I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I mean, we can say kickstarted. It was fig funded.
Fig funded there. I guess that's the grammatically correct way to say it. But yeah, that'll be coming. Good. I'm glad PlayStation players will get to play that one. But all this stuff's coming, and it's Gamescom could be a good chance to get some release dates for this stuff. Now, what about like these third party mentions? Destin, what do you expect to see? Like what might Microsoft be mentioning there, referencing on the third party side?
Probably like Battlefield 2042, Far Cry is not out yet, right? So maybe Far Cry 6.
Right, that's October,
Yeah, so just stuff that's coming within their window that they kind of want to double dip on. So I would guess 2042 is going to have some sort of exclusive thing because Sony hasn't announced they're doing anything, right? So it's just kind of Xbox is the stage for those third-party partners to come in and show off their properties. Do either of you think something like Call of Duty could be shown at this event?
Maybe. Yeah. We still don't know anything about this year's Call of Duty.
Yeah, normally, that's a fair question, Destin, because normally in the traditional cycle, Call of Duty gets announced in May, and then they show it off at E3 in June, and then kind of trickle out more information. And the fact is, they still haven't even announced the game yet. So Gamescom would seem like their last big opportunity to do it, at least at an event. I mean, they could still do it on their own, but that last we knew, unless the deal expired, they've got the marketing partnership with Sony. So I wouldn't expect to see that on Microsoft stage, but
okay. What about Diablo 2 then? Because Diablo 2 is within that same window.
Right. And that was at E3 on
Microsoft.
Did
the interview
Microsoft
with Rod.
Stage. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's I can't wait for that game.
When you
that's
start
my birthday
thinking
game
about
this
it,
year.
It when comes you start out thinking th- about it.
Yeah, it comes out 3 days after my birthday, and it's the long-awaited remaster of one of my favorite games of all time. So that's my little birthday gift to myself from Blizzard. But yeah, so there's a lot to look forward to at Gamescom. I mean, I think it's important to I hope I'm wrong, but I think we should probably try to set everybody's expectations out there. I'm not expecting any major announcements at this. I mean, they've even the wording that they gave seems to, you know, they don't say anything like stay tuned for surprises. They were pretty clear about, hey, stuff that's coming out this year, plus some third party stuff. Although that said, we still maybe Compulsion Games finally announces what they're doing. They're one of the first party Xbox yep. studios we still haven't heard from. I don't know. You think, Destin, anybody else out there that could be, you know, might make a smaller game announcement on the Xbox side?
Probably Starfield, you know, really small. No, I'm just kidding. No, what would Bethesda show? Like,
maybe
Elder Scrolls, right? Like the online game?
No. Oh, yeah, online. So. Okay. Yeah. Maybe Elder Scrolls Online. Fallout 76. Maybe we'll get a little update there. I don't know what's going on with that game right now. But no, I think you made such a great point, Ryan, that historically Gamescom has been a good place for updates and for hands-on experiences of like updated experiences, or it's the same thing that we see at E3. So I don't think we should set our hopes too high for like huge announcements.
Is Plague Tale Innocence 2021? Do either of you know off the top of your head?
The sequel. Wait, that's the name of the first one.
That's the first one.
Plague Tale Requiem.
Requiem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that could be because that's, I believe, a European developed game, right? So
that's true.
We do tend to see more European titles take center stage at Gamescom since it's a European event.
I forgot to bring it up. Lost Ark. Lost Ark has been teasing on their Twitter that they're going to announce something, and I keep talking about this game on this show. Lost Ark is going to be awesome. It is a massive game, like everywhere but here.
Yeah.
And it's finally coming here, and they're like being sort of tongue-in-cheek about it.
It's that mishmash of everything.
It's an MMO, right?
It's going to be great. It's already like out everywhere else, and it has really positive reviews.
Yeah.
I think you're going to like it more than you expect. And I think it's going to be, for people who like aren't aware of Lost Ark, I think it's going to be a sleeper hit.
I think.
Right.
Well, I say sleeper hit, but there's already a huge dedicated fan.
Yeah. Sleeper hit in the US.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely a brand of MMOs. I know. Wait, with MMOs, for me, they're so hit or miss. Like, I like Final Fantasy 14, but this one is just, it's overwhelming. Visual style, it's like, do you want literally everything in fantasy and some sci-fi? Here it is. It's all there. There's a dinosaur, but then there's a space gun.
I'm really excited. I hope you guys will at least like try the intro, because I did and I was totally hooked, and I'm really, really excited to see more. I do agree that this trailer, if you don't know what Lost Ark is, you're just like, what is this? But having played it, it just sort of takes you on an interesting story and sets you on your path in the world of wherever this takes place. I don't know. But the powers are really cool.
You can
shift in the different modes. And I think people are really going to like this one.
I like the UI. It's a lot less intimidating than other MMO UI.
Yeah.
I'll say.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to pick up.
Nice.
It's not just like a wall of icons and text.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what half of this is. Please let me unlock this slowly.
So, yeah, it's still going to be fun either way. Even if we don't get any major brand, I would say, even though it's currently penciled in for summer 2022, I doubt we'll see gameplay of Redfall at this. Like, I think it's probably too early for that. That's what my gut says anyway.
I agree. I don't think we're going to see anything about that until next year, which is a bummer for me because I want to see more of it. But I think I'm okay with that.
I would love a trailer just so we have an actual idea of what the gameplay of that product looks like. But I think, Miranda, you've actually been liking the sort of marketing style where they give us an indication of the powers of each of the characters and everything. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, absolutely. You have to read between lines. Like, they're showing off like what... I think Stell also does a great job of this with breaking down Apex Legends trailers. Of like, when they announced a new legend, you have to really read into the story that they're trying to market through, like, the cinematic, I guess, that they have released to tease it, to understand what's happening rather than just getting the full-on trailer of, like, what this game's going to look like. And again, it's an arcane game, so I think if you know what an arcane game looks like, I don't think it's going to look too much different in terms of what they're going to offer there. But we could be surprised, you know? Who could say?
If Raziel shows up during the Gamescom trailer and he's a playable character, I'm all in. Because it was codenamed Kane, I think, or something like that.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm
Destin.
So excited.
Keep the faith alive. I love it. I love it. But yeah, so stay tuned. August 24th, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on IGN for live coverage. We'll be carrying that Xbox presentation live. And then, by the way, I'll just go ahead and let you know, our podcast that week will be a 1 hour live show immediately after. So we'll be reacting to it live along with you guys. So watch the event on IGN and just stay right with us for Unlocked Live right after. I guess that'll be, if this is episode 506, 508, that'll be episode 508. So join us for that. This week's podcast Unlocked is brought to you by NordVPN. Hey, if you're watching a lot of sports like me and you hate blackouts, NordVPN is a great way to go. You can use NordVPN, a virtual private network, to watch live sporting events, TV shows, films that aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location to a country that is showing that event. No more blackouts. It's also good for plenty of other stuff like protecting your private data, your bank details, your passwords, your online identity. You can protect your data while you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. NordVPN protects you wherever you are in the world. NordVPN threat protection also protects you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. NordVPN is also the fastest VPN in the world. No buffering or lagging while you're streaming, and it will stop your ISP bandwidth throttling. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee a month, so that is a super affordable, great way to go. To get the best discount off of your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E. That's nordvpn.com/unlockd. And that'll give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. And best of all, there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/unlocked without the E.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan News, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
All right, next up this week, Miranda, we had our second Xbox Twitch Indie Showcase today as well. There were, let's see, in total, more than I can count. I have the entire list here. It looks something like, close to, like 24 games. Any highlights for you? Anything jump out?
I unfortunately didn't get to look at all of them, but one that I've been looking forward to for a long time now is Sable, which is an open world exploration game that has always looked so stylish. This is one of those games that sort of came out as a GIF. And you said, hey, what's that? Does that exist yet? Can I play it? And it's like, no, this is just the GIF to show you what this game is. I was like, oh, okay. Or GIF if you prefer.
No, and GIF. So, you got it right the first time. I'm team GIF.
yeah. I say GIF. But yes. And so that one is finally getting a lot more steam. And we can actually play it soon. So I was really happy to see an update on that. And I think most of these were just updates on games that I wanted to play. I do have to actually go back and kind of dig deeper into some of the games I missed. I unfortunately couldn't watch the whole thing because it is rather long, which is cool, which is great. I love that they give so much of a spotlight here. So Paparazzi by Kitbox Games is another one that I'm looking forward to, which is where you're taking photos of dogs.
Hold on. That's game of the year right there. Like, we can just shut down the vote right now.
Exactly. Yeah,
who wouldn't want to play that?
Yeah, exactly. So that's, you can see here.
Oh, look at our super producer, just Red, is on it. Look at that. Thank you, Red. B-roll ready to go if you're watching on video.
Red knows the priorities.
How good is that? How fun is that? I mean, you know, that's, my daughter would love this game.
Yeah.
So in all seriousness, like, she would absolutely adore this game. So
great, fun game where you go and take photos of different kinds of dogs. You can play with them and you kind of have like a little compendium of the dogs that you found so far. That dog has a big old burger. If you're listening,
we there just saw be a boxers great dog in this. That's all I got to say. It's a 0 out of 10 if there are no boxers.
Okay, you know that's absolutely right, fair. Now. You can see skateboarding dogs, incredible. Oh. There's nothing they can't do here. So I think that just, it's really charming, and I like having those games to like kind of, it's weird to say like wash my hands of like the intensity of like Call of Duty or something. It's like, all right, guys, let me just like swing a complete 180 and go do something else for a second. Yeah, it's nice to have those. So then there's also Button City, which is another more on the chill side of games. It's an adventure game where you go meet cute animals. And I think that one's actually out now. But so, yeah, we have this. It's that very cute animals. It has that sort of Animal Crossing vibes in a way. But I think it has more of a story focus. And there's an arcade where you can actually go. I think you're supposed to save the arcade is the story of the game. And you go play arcade games. So, like, there's this little hack and slash we see. And there's a racing game. And then there's DDR. So it's just a cute, like, 90s aesthetic fun one. And that's just, again, I think it's out now. So I'm probably going to go play that soon. But the one that I was excited by and kind of, like, curious about, because it's not really a game that I would play, is Library of Runa. So this game is very stylistic, and it's a library battle simulation, which you're like, wow. What does that even mean? So you go to a library, system. Yeah, and you fight them to get their books, which it sounds very silly, but and it kind of is in a way, but the aesthetic of it's really serious, and like some of it looks actually really gory. So I'm excited to see what this game is because it's not something I think I would normally play. And it's been in early access since 2020 or May 15, 2020. And the combat is rather unlike things that I've never played. I think it has some Slay the Spire vibes to it, but it's hard to really understand exactly what's going on in some of the screenshots they have because it's not English. But I'm curious to find out more about this because I love books. I'm going to fight people for their books. That's fine.
The one that jumped out at me that I want to give a quick mention to, if you like comedies, you like point-and-click adventures, if you like comedic point-and-click adventures, there is a remaster of Sam & Max Save the World, which is it's season one of the Telltale adventure. Not the original LucasArts one, but the Telltale one that got made a bit later. It's really good. It was out on the 360. I think I reviewed it back at OXM for that back then. But yeah, Sam & Max is hilarious and there just aren't a lot of funny point and click adventure games anymore. And this is a pretty like classic one. So yeah, I mean, not Game Pass in this situation, but if that is up your alley, it is really cool to see that getting remastered and re-released here on Xbox One and Xbox Series X. So don't miss that one. And then I guess the one other one, which I don't know anything about, I haven't played, but the short description, like the elevator pitch has me sold here. It's called The Big Con. Hustle your way across 90s America as a runaway teen con artist. Choose how to make your scratch as you don disguises, pick pockets, and rip people off in this comedic crime-filled adventure. Experience the totally rad 90s and all its plaid and payphone glory. So I am really eager to give this a go and see what it's all about because I grew up in the 90s and want to play a game that's trying to do something like this.
This almost has some Doug aesthetic to it, I will yes. say.
Well, no, it's a good reference. Boy, I haven't thought about Doug in a while.
So. Well played, it's a Furby. Sorry. This game looks really cool. If you aren't watching, I highly recommend checking out the trailer because if you also have any fondness for the 90s, like all of a sudden, I want to try this out. That's cool.
So for me, I'm cheating a little bit, and I'm sneaking a peek at some of these on the IGN collection article. And the one that jumped out at me right away was Inked, A Tale of Love is an unconventional love story told on a world of paper. Basically, there's a bunch of hand-drawn illustrations that are built together into like a gameplay story. When everything he loves is lost, he must embark on a puzzle-filled quest to regain what he truly loves. He is also aided by the artist, so the actual artist's hand will come in during the gameplay and draw stuff
That's cool.
on the screen. One of the things, when I was in college way back in the day, and I don't know why this keeps coming up lately, but I was going for game design and I wrote a high concept doc, and I've always wanted a game that would start out the world where it's almost like lightly drawn and then slowly improved to like modern day graphics over time as you develop your character. So like the style of the world would evolve. And I think he's sort of getting at that with Inked, like an idea similar to that. It looks really, really neat.
Wow.
And I love how this is all hand-drawn. That's you really can see good. Like color is coming into the world and everything. I mean, like, yeah, I don't know.
The fourth wall gorgeous. Aspect of that with the artist's hand. That's cool.
Yeah,
it's the hand's really awkward because like you see this beautiful like kind of sketched landscape and this big hand comes in.
I know that a lot of these things are like up to your own interpretation, but I have to imagine that the person is. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think what he's trying to illustrate, and I don't know, I'd have to learn more about the game, is that the person is drawing this game and coming through these adventures so that he can cope with something that's going on in real life with somebody that he cares about, right? And I'm basing that off of one paragraph description. But if that is the case, I'm all in. I already love the art style. I love the gameplay. And if there is a larger, more overarching narrative, it's like, look at it. It looks so good. I'm willing to give this one a shot.
Oh, I would say there is based on the
based on
images
that.
We've just seen. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aww, cool.
Yeah, no, that's, I'm adding that to my list, too. Because it looks like it's got some sort of puzzle stuff in it too, which is which I'm all about. So yeah, sign me up for that one. Inked.
And then Argami too, because you kills people all stealthy like.
I mean, for stealth fans out there, that's
all we got.
A few stealth games that exist anymore, pure stealth. We had a preview of that on IGN recently. One of our wonderful contributors took a look at it. That was Travis Northup, I believe, wrote that up. So
I know that guy.
Yeah, take a look at that one. And then I guess the last one I'll mention real quick is just a game that's been out for a long time and it's beloved. That game is Stardew Valley, but the new notable item here, it's coming to Game Pass. So if you haven't played Stardew Valley, now it's just in your Game Pass subscription. So fix that if you haven't already played it.
It has resolved multiplayer, that. And if you haven't played since launch, a lot has changed. A lot of new things.
Love it. All right, let's get on to some other news stories here as we've talked for a while already. The Dead Space remake that we talked about a couple of shows ago, right before I left for my trip. It's being developed by EA Motive, of course, and it is reportedly aiming for a fall 2022 release date. According to a report by GamesBeat, sources familiar with the development of the game have said that Dead Space could launch as early as fall 2022. This may be sooner than many fans expected, given that very little has been shared about the game, which was only officially announced last month. And by last month, it was like 2 weeks ago. The report by GamesBeat claims that internally, EA is anticipating a Dead Space launch during its 2023 fiscal year. However, when approached for a statement surrounding the supposed release of the game, EA said, quote, "We haven't shared a release date for the game, and we don't have any comment based on the current rumor and speculation, but we're glad people are excited for the game." Destin, this feels like one of those fun kind of under promise and over deliver kind of situations if they're able to pull that off.
I don't expect to see anything from this game for a very long time. I think they've showed their teaser. And the next time we see it, it's going to be much closer to whenever that launch window ends up being at the end of the day. And I agree with you, Ryan. If it is under promise, over deliver, great. I'm not in a rush to play the Dead Space remake personally. I'll wait until they're done and go for it. I don't think they need. I'm not like in a rush to play it in 2022.
Miranda, are you buying this rumor, or you think it's that seems a little optimistic?
I feel like everything gets delayed now, so that's my only comment.
Yeah. You're not wrong. And that's I'm with you there. I mean, I don't know EA's internal schedule, and
GamesBeat
apparently has stumbled upon it. But as you said, everything gets delayed. Everybody's still working from home. Like none of these major companies, nobody's gone back yet. Not with some of them were planning to at least I know. Well, I don't know about game companies, but like I have friends and neighbors that work for Google, and September was the plan, but then Delta starts going around and those plans change. So, yeah, with studios still not back together yet and delays being a normal part of game development, I would bet lunch that this game does not release anytime in 2022. And I'd be happy to lose the bet. I'd be happy to buy somebody lunch if it turns out it does. But yeah, we'll see. Also, I mean, even though Dead Space is a known quantity, I don't know if the fall season is the best time for it when you've got the, when you've got this, you know, the Call of Duties of the world, the Halos, the Battlefields. I mean, in next year's case, the Starfields of the world. I know they're different genres, but yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but hey.
Yeah, and its brand of horror, I think, would do well without the October spooky season, too. Like, I think that could come out at any time. Honestly, this would be a fun summer game, I think. But, I don't know. Space horror, to me, screams summer rather than fall.
Yeah, like a big summer horror movie, right? You know,
yeah.
Just summer movie season. So,
yeah, I mean, like, anyway. the game's out now, so like you can go play Dead Space, you know, and then when the new version comes out with prettier graphics, you can play it again. Like, it holds up very well. It's, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, it's less scary.
Right. I mean, thankfully, it's a remake, so it's not going to, I mean, presumably, yeah. It's not going to be a shot-for-shot remake, although that's possible, but it's, you'll get some kind of new experience.
Yeah, they talked about this a little bit, actually. They're going to be, like, adding more of the corridors that had to be cut due to the size constraints and just limitations that they have on old hardware. So there is definitely going to be new stuff, but a lot of it will be probably what we experience, you know?
Yeah. So maybe stay tuned for that next fall, but I wouldn't necessarily bet on it. Although I guess I just did. But I bet against it. this next story warms my heart because I'm a big South Park fan since the very beginning, because yes, I'm old. There is a new South Park game in development coming from Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the co-creators of South Park, as part of their new $900 million deal with Viacom and Paramount, which will keep South Park, the TV show, going through its 30th season in 2027. They're also doing 14, yes, a dozen plus two movies, South Park movies for Paramount Plus, the streaming service, because you got to have content to get people to subscribe. And as part of the deal, Matt and Trey will also be working on a new South Park video game. Matt Stone confirmed the game is in development and it's being made by an in-house team at South Park Studios. Hmm. So not, you know, Ubisoft or Obsidian, as was the case with the Fractured But Whole and the Stick of Truth, the RPGs we've seen previously. So we don't
you
know what kind
that
of game.
So carefully. Come
I know on. You've got that's the joke, right? You can't step into Matt and Trey's trap every time. You got to be careful, tiptoe around it. But we don't know what kind of game this is. But Miranda, what kind of game do you hope it is? Do you want to go back to the RPG well, or is there another genre you'd like to see Matt and Trey tackle?
I have a confession to make. I am not a South Park fan. It traumatized me when I was a child. I was very scared. Believe it or not, I was scared. When I was really young. Do you want to do a quick story time?
I want to hear the backstory on this.
Okay, quick story time. I had a TV in my room when I was a little kid, and my parents were like, trusted us to like turn it off at night. And one night, I was like, I want to watch South Park because I want to know what it's all about. I don't remember. I was in elementary school easily, like really little. And there was this episode where the kids get stuck on a bus on the side of the mountain. And there's this monster in the mountain and it ate a kid and spit out its blood and bones on the side of the window. And that just freaked me out so bad. I was like, what is this? And then I never looked at South Park the same way again.
I mean, that's understandable. I have stuff like my version of that is Howard the Duck freaked me out when I was a little kid. I don't remember exactly why, but there was some scene in it. I haven't purposely watched that movie since because I'm not looking to revisit the trauma.
Right.
But yeah. Like there are things that seem as an adult, like seem like, well, wait, why would that freak you out? But as a kid, you know, you never quite know.
Yeah. You got yeah, that mine, little version going.
Mine was They Live. Taught me not to trust anybody.
Oh no. Dang, Dustin. All right. I will say too, though, it's really fun exploring the stories of how South Park comes to be. I forget what I was listening to, but like the production behind South Park and how they keep it so reactionary. And it's really cool to hear about that. But
yeah, are you talking about 6 days to air, which was
yes.
the yeah
yes It was really cool.
It's so worth watching if you haven't seen it. It's about how South Park gets made on such a tight schedule every week and stays so topical. It's old now. I mean, I think that's right. Probably 8 to 10 years old, but it's still relevant and it's still super interesting.
No,
so,
absolutely.
Destin, what genre here? You want to go RPG for a third time or you want to see something else?
I want another RPG. Those games are amazing. I'm a little worried that Ubisoft's not going to be involved, to be totally honest, because I thought that those games were so well done that I would have just loved to play another one of them. And I'm the last game that they did without Ubisoft was like what, the snowball throwing turkey game on Nintendo 64.
Well, I mean, Obsidian did the Stick of Truth and Ubi took it to the finish line, but Obsidian did the work there. Most of the work.
Well, I want another one of those. That's what I want for sure. And if they're able to replicate that and do something of that quality, great. I do worry because like it's a new game development studio, right?
Well, that's my worry is that it's sort of a second side of the same coin of what you're talking about is my worry is when it says it's an in-house team. That, oh, what if that means it's like we're all getting our hope, or well, I'm getting my hopes up, and it's just going to be a dinky mobile game that I don't care about.
Because they have tower defense games and stuff that are on mobile. I don't know if those were in-house. I would have to read a little bit more.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's, Ryan, like, we really liked the console RPGs a lot. Those are like sort of something I look forward to when they're announced. And I just sit down and I play through the whole thing. I gobble it up. It's awesome.
I mean, that said, it's funny you mentioned tower defense. So South Park Studio, the internal team did do South Park Let's Go Tower Defense, which was really good. That was an Xbox Live arcade game in the 360 days. But the point stands that you're making. It's not a large scale, you know, AAA 12 to 25 hour role-playing game. So
I really adore the RPGs.
I wouldn't mind another RPG. I actually thought the most recent one, Fractured, was actually too long. I never ended up finishing it, as much as I love South Park.
Wow.
I thought the 12-ish hour runtime of the Stick of Truth was perfect for that game, for that, because it was like playing a 12-hour episode of the show, and the writing was tight, and it was, you know, I know I'm missing something by not having finished Fractured, but less can be more, I think, in a lot of cases. And but I will say I've been talking a lot on this episode for some reason, as it has worked out, about point and click adventure games. I've always wanted a South Park point and click adventure game that Matt and Trey write and Matt and Trey do the voices for, where, you know, it's a cousin kind of something like what the Stick of Truth did, but just a straight up like puzzle adventure that's heavy on dialogue and has dialogue trees that you can choose different responses of things to say. That's what I'd love to see. Now, are they going to do that? Probably not, because nobody buys point and click adventure games anymore for the most part, but I can dream. I'm allowed to dream. Let's see here. We're already getting late in the show, but we've got to talk Mass Effect because, you know, that makes Destin happy. Why not?
Always.
And the news is good. Sales for Mass Effect Legendary Edition were, quote, well above EA's expectations, according to EA themselves in their earnings call last week for investors. Quote, the launch of Mass Effect Legendary Edition, the remaster of the first three Mass Effect games, reignited the passion of fans around the world, driving sales performance well above our expectations, said EA's CEO, Andrew Wilson. Now, Destin, number one, this has got to make you happy. And number two, I have to imagine that there might be a long tail on this. Like, it might keep selling for a while because it's just sort of a self-contained thing where word of mouth can keep going around. It's, oh, did you play Mass Effect? Oh, wait, what do you mean? Oh, it's remastered. I could see this doing well for a while.
Yeah, if you're going to play Mass Effect, you should play this version of Mass Effect. This is the one that you should play through, right? And I'm not tremendously surprised that it sold well. This is something that I feel like everybody was asking for so long. Yep. And then they finally do it and they really, really give it a proper treatment. And they explain why they didn't like totally redo Mass Effect 1. And I really appreciate the work that went into it, the level of quality that came out of the project. And it's just like a great contained experience. And hopefully they're able to move forward with, we'll call it Mass Effect 4 or whatever it's going to be called in the future, and have that same level of quality, right? I've seen some articles lately saying like Andromeda isn't as bad as you remember. No, it was not the same experience, in my opinion. I think Miranda and I disagree, but
it's not
up to the same caliber.
It's not a bad game. Mass Effect original trilogy, but it's not a bad game.
It is.
I don't know. I don't like the storytelling as much. I feel like the characters are harder to relate to. I feel like the aliens are like not as like they. I don't know. They're just not interesting.
We can differ. That's fine. That's totally fine.
They got rid of Paragon and Renegade, which I was not a fan of.
There's a structure early on you see that I thought was in Carry On through the entire game. And there's like, I think, really quality stories there, but it's not consistent. Where are the Quarians?
I think Mass Effect Andromeda
is
the Saint Anger of Mass Effect. So Saint Anger, Metallica, it's regarded as like Metallica fans hate that album. It's not a bad album, but it's a bad Metallica album. And I think the same thing applies to Mass Effect Andromeda. It's not a bad RPG. It's just a bad Mass Effect game. So,
yeah.
The combat works, right? The combat works fairly well. You can zip around and everything like that. Most of my problems come down to like storytelling. I feel the characters are fairly awkward. Like it comes off awkward, at least how they sort of put them together in the scenes. And I really wanted to love that game. I really, really did. And playing through it, it was very forgettable experience for me. And that bums me out.
Does that make you worry for what they do with another sort of mainline Mass Effect game?
Well, I know
they tried to do that.
Mac's still at BioWare, right? So they could bring in Drew to help figure out whatever they want to do if they feel that's necessary. But Mac wrote 2 and 3, and he's going to be working on the new one. I feel fairly confident that with Rootsart and all the other writers that work collaboratively on the Mass Effect franchise, that they're going to be able to come out with something great.
Okay.
To this point, I mean, Miranda, it's this definitely helps rehabilitate Mass Effect's wounded image, though, heading into Mass Effect 4, right?
I would say so, I hope. I think if anything, it just introduced the world of Mass Effect as it was originally intended, I guess you could say, to a lot of new people. Like that's what it was, like that introduction, because I think there's a lot of people I heard saying like, oh, I've never played Mass Effect, so I'm getting this. I was like, oh, well, perfect. Great. That just makes a lot of sense. So I'm hoping, if anything, that will give a lot of people, I guess, more excitement for what they're doing. And because it sold so well, I hope that means EA will give BioWare the time they need to like properly develop it. And I specifically say time because I think that's what happened with Andromeda, is that they ran out of time or patience from BioWare to get this game, or from EA to get the game out. And yeah, so
they reset it.
Yeah, like, there is
pretty far in. That's
and that seems to be, just based on what we've heard, like a thing with EA about them like resetting things. I don't know if that's a studio issue or if that's an EA mandate issue or whatever it is, but it seems like a lot of projects at EA have a problem like starting and continuing, not just getting like restarted or like getting out the door. And so whenever you have to like, you know, rush this game out, and we heard, I think, a lot of reports about Andromeda 2, then it could be really difficult to want to put out, or be able to put out, a quality product whenever you're that rushed or that there's that much communication missing. So I'm hoping that with the sales of this, they'll just like back off. And I think EA, like we did have a conversation too about like whether or not EA is kind of in good graces. And I think that's also a big part of it too, right? They need to treat their studios and the employees well. So hopefully they get what they need to make an excellent game based off how popular this was.
And just, Miranda, you mentioned how it kind of reminds new fans what Mass Effect originally was. The optimistic thing I want to look at here is, I mean, yes, Destin, you're correct. Mac, there will be some original developers on Mass Effect 4, but I think it's probably fair to say the majority of the development team probably will be new, will be people that did not work on the trilogy. And my hope is that this Legendary Edition and the success of it helps remind not just fans, but also the Mass Effect 4 development team of what people love about Mass Effect as they lay the groundwork for the new one. And hopefully it'll be fresh in their minds as they build the new one and just have more of an influence, quite honestly, you know, rather than just be this kind of distant nostalgic memory, right? Like, I'm hoping this Legendary Edition helps really influence 4.
I agree with you. I think it's definitely probably, I don't know, I'm not at BioWare, but it's a grounding experience to have a game come out and do really, really well like this did. And honestly, I think BioWare really needed this win because they've just been through the ringer over the last few years. Andromeda came out to a massive controversy.
Right.
Anthem comes out and it's kind of a dud, right? And they end up pulling the plug on the sequel and development on that. So BioWare really needed a win with one of their historic franchises. And I'm really, really happy to see this. Now, if Dragon Age comes out and Dragon Age is also a hit and also celebrated, then I'm going to be a lot more hopeful about what other projects we see. For example, the rumored remake of the Star Wars games. I have to wonder if that's going to get a little bit more development push now that the Legendary Edition of Mass Effect has done so well. I certainly hope so.
I'll believe that when I see it, a remake of those. I'm not getting my hopes up for that. All right, the last quick note here before we move on. Hellblade 1, a game I know, Destin, you revisited. It's actually still on my list. I'm ashamed to admit that I've started it, but I got to sit down and do it. I know it's only like 6 hours, but Hellblade has been given an optimization patch for Xbox Series X and S. DirectX ray tracing up to 120 frames per second and resolutions of up to 4K. So depending what options you choose, the team is excited for fans to jump into the game for the first time or return to Senua's journey in a cinematic experience that hasn't been possible on console before on Series X and S. So just a public service announcement. It's on Game Pass. I need to listen to my own advice and go play that game. And as we get ready for Hellblade 2.
The update's free. A piece of advice, just follow a guide, because there's some of the puzzles are fairly tedious. And that's usually where I've seen a lot of players, myself included, dropping off. Just follow the guy, unless you're stubborn and you really, because it's a really cool story. It's really a game that I think people should play.
Yeah, I know Brandon Tyrell is a big fan too. All right, let's quickly, I'm going to skip loot box for this week because we're short on time. Real quick, turbo round of unlock block trivia. M. Fish writes in and asks, these major motion pictures all feature gaming scenes where characters are using video game controllers to play a variety of games. Which of the following movies features a scene with Xbox controllers? Was it Superbad? Was it Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel? Was it The Breakup, the classic Jennifer Aniston, Vince Vaughn rom-com? Or Grandma's Boy, the sort of cult-ish classic movie with Nick Swartz? And let's see if any of you remember seeing an Xbox controller in any of these. I'm going to go Miranda's Way first.
I always make a mental note when I see something like that happens. I'm like, oh, hey, look what they're playing. But I don't know this one. I think I've only seen one of these movies. And so I will guess B, Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Okay. Which of the four have you seen, out of curiosity?
Superbad.
Okay, that's the right choice out of this group. Yeah. Superbad's awesome. I love that movie.
I like Superbad.
All right, Destin, I'll go your way.
That's the only one I haven't seen. I think it's D, Grandma's Boy. I'm guessing, though. I actually don't know the answer.
That's a good question. So are you going to lock in with that? Or
I'm going to lock in with D, yeah, because I'm a little unsure.
All right, let me just pull up the scoring here real quick. And it is, so Miranda 5, Destin 4. Not anymore, though. Destin has tied things up. Yes. Grandma's Boy is the correct answer.
Grandma's Boy, no!
Because they're all game devs, and like at that time, like everybody used the Xbox controller because it was just compatible with Windows.
Well, that's what Gearum was supposed to do.
The extra layer is the game that they're playing, that they're developing. It was a game. I'm now blanking on it, but it was a real game in development that I believe never came out. Hold on, let me just.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Grandma's Boy game. Ah, Demonic.
That's Demonic right.
Was the name of it with a K at the end. D-E-M-O-N-I-K. Demonic is from Terminal Reality and Majesco. So that was featured in Grandma's Boy. So there you go. M. Fish, thank you very much for that. Everybody, please send in your Unlocked Block trivia questions. Just email me, unlocked@ign.com. Include the question for multiple choice answers and note the correct answer in your email. And we'll play again next week. But in the meantime, it is time to roll. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. You can find me on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan. Again, I mentioned at the top, our Back for Blood month-long IGN first coverage has begun. So check out that stuff on IGN or on YouTube. And I don't know what else. So, well, you already saw, I already plugged my Ascent review. Hopefully you've seen that already. Miranda.
You can find me at Havoc Rose, and that's Havoc with a K pretty much everywhere, especially on Twitch. Tonight I'll be playing Batman Arkham Knight still. As far as IGN work goes, though, I'm working on a review that should be up this week. It may be interesting to you. It's hard to say. I can't talk about what it is yet. And use IGN guides. Thanks.
Yay. There are plenty of games coming out for those mm-hmm. guides that you guys mm-hmm. are putting a lot of hard work into. So,
yeah.
Destin, take us home.
Yeah, please go watch my Halo Infinite performance preview. We took a look at the flight across as many platforms as I could capture in the time period and also do a preview and also do gameplay. But 343 actually had some comments on some of the issues that had been identified, including the PC version not running at a stable 60, the frame time issues on base consoles, and the fruit. So be sure you check that out. It's over on youtube.com/IGN games right now,
which is the same place that Unlocked lives. So if you don't already subscribe to youtube.com/IGN games, please do so. Do us a favor. That'll help us out. For super producer Red, as well as Miranda and Destin, I'm Ryan. This is Unlocked 506, and we'll see you all again next week.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.